We want to begin discussion tonight and on the Wednesdays following on the concept of a clear conscience. You and I ought to have a clear idea of what the Bible means in this. We could call it gaining a transparent personality. And the four things that we're going to be talking about is, first of all, and we'll see as far as we can go tonight, the imperative of a clear conscience, then rationalizations hindering a clear conscience, the basic steps in gaining a clear conscience, and then cautions in gaining a clear conscience. We see Paul writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. It's listed as one of the most essential weapons for successful spiritual achievement. If you don't have it, you can make shipwreck of your testimony. Let's think then of the definition of a clear conscience. We'll call it that inner freedom of spirit and assurance from knowing that you have a transparency toward everyone. By that we mean that no one is able to point a finger at you and accuse you, and we're talking about accurately, accuse you of wrongs toward him that you have never made right. I've heard of situations where preacher was preaching, a woman came in to visit, sat down, it was an old girlfriend of the preacher, back in dating days, I guess. And the preacher got all uncomfortable and nervous. And so what was going on there? He didn't have a clear conscience, doing some wrong thing that he never made right. And your life will be amazingly more at peace if you settle these things. And your testimony will be greatly, greatly enhanced. So let's think for a moment of the scope of a clear conscience. The first person that we need to deal with in clearing our conscience is God. But we don't stop there. That's not enough. The clear conscience must go on then to our family, which would be the closest people to us, move on to other relatives, move on then to neighbors that perhaps you sense you have not on friendly terms with anymore, then going to employers, past employers perhaps, or regular, normal, present employers, teachers that you had, and then former friends. We can put enemies there, but former friends, and then of course even others beyond that as the Lord leads you. We want to emphasize then that this is the source of dynamic living. I mentioned earlier that it was in dealing with this, getting my conscience clear, that was the main thing, I believe, that took Christianity out of the ethereal and the theoretical and made it practical to me. Sin was made exceedingly sinful to me when I had to go back and humbly ask for forgiveness for wrongs done. But it is a source of dynamic living, and I will wish it upon all of you. So we want to see the imperative of a clear conscience, and of course the word imperative means a command. We're going to be looking at some topics and then some verses, but the following verses are only a few of those that refer to the imperative of a clear conscience. Think about this, that a sensitive conscience is the mark of a mature Christian. we see from Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the clear conscience makes it exercises our senses so that we begin to understand this. Solid food is only for the adult, you see, the mature one. So if you have the power to discriminate between what is good and bad, you have become a mature Christian. And dealing with that sensitive conscience that can discern between, that is a mark of your spiritual maturity. A second thought, Paul testifies to the importance of a clear conscience. You see in Acts 24:16, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. The point here is, what does he say about it? Herein do I exercise myself. He had to stop and think through during the day's activity. He was a driving personality. You can tell that in his life. He was Mr. Gung-ho, you know, before they invented that term. And the thing is, at the end of the day, he'd have to stop and say to himself, did I do something that will make that person upset and I didn't ask for forgiveness? Did I act in pride? Did I act in anger? So he says, I have to deal with this. Herein do I, present tense, continuing tense, do I exercise myself? In 2 Corinthians 1:12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our manner of life in the world, and more abundantly toward you. So the testimony of our conscience, that he says, none of you can actually point and blame me. This is the difference between being sinless and being blameless. You can be blameless, you see. You can deal with somebody and say, I was wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. And then they can't blame you anymore, you see. You have dealt with it to the best of your ability. And then you think of Paul, the elder, speaking to Timothy, the younger. He warned Timothy that next to his faith, his trust in the Lord and the Word of God, a clear conscience was his most essential weapon. You just sense the imperative of that. So he says in 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, those prophecies, might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And so, you know, in one sense, your faith is not going to be communicated properly, which is your whole job here on this earth, if you are not willing to go to the humbling extent of asking for forgiveness. We see also that Peter explains why a clear conscience is essential in order to share one's faith with others. We see this in 1 Peter 3:16, and I put it in King James Version, and it's not in the paper in front of me, so I've turned and read it. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, manner of life in Christ. So they can't pin you down that you did anything wrong and didn't make it right. We see then that we need to make sure that our conscience is perfectly clear. So if we are slandered, they'll know that they're speaking evil wrongly. And then we find, rather interestingly, from the Psalms, that even health and physical appearance are affected by the lack of a clear conscience. Think about that. That lack of a clear conscience produces certain stress. I was just reading that it works around a person's mouth, that tension and persistent tension and nervousness pull lips and so on. You've seen people with what you can only say is that's a hard look, you know, and certain things cause that. So happy is he, blessed is he. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verses 3 and 4, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. So there is even a health and physical appearance need that is met. Now, since it is possible to damage your conscience, to diminish the effectiveness of the conscience by disregarding or rationalizing your conviction to do it, it is important to identify the forces producing conviction in the conscience. The first thing that produces conviction is the light of Christ's character. We begin to see his character qualities, and we become aware then that we ought to be like him, and so we learn certain things. The Word of God is what more clearly defines the basic qualities. Our sensitivity comes when we see his good character qualities, but we see in us a lack of those character qualities. So what we find here is his character qualities give us an awareness of our need for truth, love, morality, being just, being pure, having forgiveness. The sensitivity to our character, we recognize in us is lying and unloving and immoral, unjust, impure, bitterness. So what do we do? Well, we go to the Word of God. And in the Word of God, did I put that in the verses? Yeah, here we go. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them, make them holy. The Word of God has that ability to change who you are and make you more Christ-like. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I have great speaking power, and have not charity, true Christian love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The idea here in 1 Corinthians 13 is that the love of Christ is clearly portrayed. And if we don't see it in our life, then we should become sensitive to that and find out this is why the problems come about. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 and 3, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, to become holy, that you should abstain from fornication." Well, what if the Word of God teaches us concerning the character of Christ? What is it that teaches us our insensitivity, our lack of character quality? It's something called the reproofs of life. And the reproofs of life come by the people we have relationship with. And so the government, finances, parents, our life partner, relatives, friends, enemies, former friends, circumstances, health, and children. These are all things where, if I were to say to you, what area of your life, perhaps one of these, what area of your life is giving you the most problem right now, I would say there's an area for you to think about, to concentrate on, and recognize that perhaps these things are a result. This is God's reproving you for something done wrong that has never been made right. So here is, in fact, the pattern that we need to learn. Now let me tell you a story or two, and then we'll stop for tonight. A clear conscience is related to boldness in witnessing. It was a summer camp, and Don, a high school sophomore, was deeply concerned at this Christian camp over his inability to tell others of his faith in Christ. So he and his counselor were talking. "How long has it been since you've been able to witness?" He says, "For about a year." He says, "That's pretty specific. Can you think of anything that happened a year ago that might have caused your present inability to witness?" "Well, last year I was on the high school basketball team, and once I let out a string of swear words in the locker room. The fellows were really shocked since I was supposed to be a Christian. Ever since then, I've been ashamed to talk to others about the Lord." So Don had a good reason not to witness. He knew these friends would call him a hypocrite. God relates a clear conscience to effective witnessing. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, make him holy in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer, a defense to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereof they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." The linking of 15 to 16 there makes it very important that as you give an answer, make a defense of your Christian life to people, you need to recognize that in fact, if you don't have a clear conscience, then that has just stopped your effective and bold witness. Summer camp again, a senior girl revealed the same problem. She couldn't witness very well. And ask, "Can you think of a cause for this?" And she said, "Things were going along just fine till one day in math class. We had a test that day. My girlfriend let me see some of her answers. I've really felt horrible since, and I know that what my girlfriend would say if she heard me telling others I was a Christian. She'd say, 'You big hypocrite.' It's okay for you to cheat, but you got to tell other people to be good." So perhaps you'll find in your life that you're great with witnessing to certain people, and maybe these are people that you think don't have any problem with you. But there is an area. There's this person or that person, or maybe even a relative or somebody that knew you back when and you never made it right. And just kind of can't really go there with your Christian testimony. It's one of those things where you say, "I'd like to talk to you about being a Christian." They're going, "Yeah, right," you know. So the importance. Well, we'll pick that up next time. as God allows, and tell you some more of their stories concerning the importance of a clear conscience. Comments or questions?